Hi, and welcome to the Creekwood Christian Church Sermon Podcast. This week's sermon continues our series on the sacred chord and looking at how popular music influences our understanding of popular scripture. This week we're focusing on rap and how it informs the writings of the Apostle Paul.
I must confess, there's something marvelous about watching the words ultralight beam, Kanye West, come up on the screen and hearing the sweet murmur of, seriously? Indeed, here we are on this Sunday as we continue our Sacred Chord sermon series, and it is Rap Week. A week that for some of us we have been looking forward to with anticipation, and for others of us we really needed our gold star that we were here in church today. Great news, you are all present and accounted for. Good work. But what really draws us together this day are the ways that we continue to see the work and word and love of God manifest in our lives. And so we return to that ancient text, to our scripture, to a place where God's word dwells, that it might dwell within us. So hear these words from Philippians chapter 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Awesome God, it is our holy and humble calling this day that we might gather together to hear a word, to be moved by scripture and in spirit by you this day. May it be so. Amen. I spent the last several days in San Francisco on vacation with my husband Doug, and we had a great time, and we had this moment of epiphany of sorts when we were standing in line for the Museum of Ice Cream. Yes, it was amazing. Yes, you should go. It is worth the $38 and the surcharge. But while we were standing in line, we noticed how diverse the line of people with us was. We heard several different languages, had several folks from other countries approach us, which we felt was like a badge of honor and looking like polite and courteous humans, so that was great. There were children of all ages. There were adults who probably would not want me to ask how old they were, who were totally there by themselves, kind of like us, for the Museum of Ice Cream experience. And while we were going through the Museum of Ice Cream, reflecting on the diversity of people around us, in the Museum of Ice Cream, not only do you learn about ice cream and get to eat ice cream, but there are gatekeepers to each of these individual rooms who ask you very existential questions. Questions like, what joy are you putting into the world? Oh, okay. Or, what statement will you make with your life? What do you scream for? What? Oh my gosh. What will you believe in no matter what? These are real questions that they asked before they would give you the ice cream and the cotton candy. What? It's been a long time since I've been on that side of the equation. But as they asked that question, that last one, what would you believe in no matter what? I asked the woman asking me, do you get the same responses to these questions like a million times a day? Do people just kind of come through and say, love, Jesus, ice cream, and you celebrate with them and let them go on their way? And she surprised me when she told me no. Very rarely do we get the same answers in a row. And even when someone does offer the answer, maybe by chance that someone offered before us, we share with them, we already heard that answer today. Think of a new one. I was in the 4:30 time slot, and this place opened at 10 a.m. I had to dig deep, friends. But in the midst of those questions, in thinking about the diversity around us, how often it is that folks didn't offer the same answer, that discovery of diversity was a blessing. It can be found in a tub full of sprinkles, which does indeed exist at the Museum of Ice Cream. 4 feet deep. Or it can be found in a Bible that's filled with scripture. Scripture like the one we heard today that comes from a letter written by Paul, a guy who's known for writing a letter or two. In a time before computers or typewriters or printing presses or really anything that made that a convenient truncated exercise. And when I think about how prolific Paul was, only in the letters that we know existed, knowing that surely there are many, many more, do you ever wonder if Paul considered writing a form letter? Dear, insert name of local community here. Greetings on behalf of, insert name of local contact here. Here are the 5 things everyone needs to know about Jesus. Copy and paste the 5 things you copy and pasted in the last 3 codices. Thoughts and prayers, Paul. That sounds like that would be easy. Kind of like those emails that we send where we've copy and pasted, or if we're really skilled, done that mail merge where it changes out that name for us. Oh, that is sweet. But inevitably, subsequently, eventually, somehow the wrong name ends up in the wrong salutation line. The body of the message doesn't quite fit for the person or the experience that's hoped to be had. And there just seems to be something overall lacking in general, say, authenticity and genuine care. When we write form letters, we deny diversity. We fail to acknowledge the specificity of individuals, the diversity of communities, and the unique struggles and celebrations of those fledgling churches. Though God's abundant grace is eternal and Christ's sacrificial love is indeed unchanging, the medium and audience for the message changes when it's delivered. You see, each of Paul's letters that he wrote had a different, specifically constructed context for their audiences that took into account what they were experiencing, that certainly connected them to one another. Sure, he sampled different metaphors and remixed theological baselines so that they might ring true and clear and potent for those who would hear the message. Much like today's letter to the Philippians. The Philippians who find themselves in need of a familiar, reassuring word, but with a spin on it, with something a little bit different and more particular to their circumstance. Paul does not spend time chastising them in this letter, as he has in others, for arguing among themselves. Paul does not spend time in this letter saying who should be allowed to speak and who should not, as he's been known to do in other letters. Instead, Paul focuses on the community and love that is knit here. Paul spends his time meeting them on their level, recognizing that they are a body of people who get it, who understand this one mind, one heart likeness of Jesus' business, but they are people who are struggling. They are struggling because the surrounding community has taken to persecuting them. They are struggling in the midst of that suffering to find joy. And so Paul writes, sharing with them how to make joy complete in their specific, particular context. And because Paul chose to write intentional, unique, and specific letters that retell a familiar story, that reiterate a universal truth, but have particular communities in mind, he created for future Christians like you and me a canon. A canon offers general laws, rules, and principles for the purposes of authenticating the folks, the things, the ideas that belong to the canon. And specifically within our Christian life and experience in our communities, the canon is there to authenticate whether we are living truly Christian lives. No pressure, right? But the great news about Paul, the great news about these letters that he wrote for different communities, is that none of them are exactly the same. While the love of Christ is the same, while the grace of God is the same, the inroads to understanding, identifying, resonating, and connecting with it are not. Because Paul wrote so prolifically, so spiritually, so specifically, Paul helped create a wide and welcoming canon for how to approach faith, how to worship God, and how to follow Jesus. We can speculate whether or not Paul knew he was establishing such a wide and welcoming canon with each of these letters he wrote. Perhaps he knew he was working to create a body of work that would outlive him and in turn outline the future for Christians to come. There are many writers who write with that kind of posterity, after all. There are plenty of people who create with such foresight. And particularly poignant, as an example this morning, is Alexander Hamilton, the lesser-sung founding father of the United States.
Corruption's such an old song that we can sing along in harmony, and nowhere is it stronger than in Albany. This colony's economy's increasingly stalling, and honestly, that's why public service seems to be calling me. I practice the law, practically perfected it. I've seen injustice in the world, and I've corrected it. Now for a strong central democracy. If not, then I'll be Socrates throwing verbal rocks at these mediocrities.
Hamilton at the Constitutional Convention.
For the Constitutional Convention. The Cook sisters are singing along with me. Don't worry, we're making eye contact and it is great. For those of you who are new to the world of Hamilton, a musical written by Lin-Manuel Miranda in the style of rap merging with Broadway hits, it tells this story of Alexander Hamilton, a prolific writer, a polymath, a stubborn and brilliant man. Hamilton wrote relentlessly. He penned policy and theory and structure that continues to influence and define the United States of America as a nation. And though he did all of those things, we don't hear about him often, and his opinions were not always well received.
Why do you always say what you believe?
Why do you always say what you believe?
Every proclamation guarantees free ammunition for your enemies.
Why do you write like it's going out of style? Day and night, like it's going out of style. Every day you fight, like it's going out of style. Do what you do.
Odds are good that Paul's not a Lin-Manuel Miranda fan, if for no other reason than they're separated by, you know, a couple centuries. But they relate to one another. They relate to one another in the ways that they are able to bind together words, to infuse them with meaning, to map on to stories that have been, stories that will be. to tell what it means for us to mash existence up, what it means for us to remix our ways of being in this world. You see, the story that Lin-Manuel Miranda tells of Alexander Hamilton is a story that he tells through people of color who are not among the founding fathers of our country, but are among the founding fathers of rap music. In this twist that he puts on, which I wish we could have watched a video, but they've really got this stuff under copyright lock, I tell you what, it's impressive. The story that's told is about how wide and welcoming that canon can become. You see, when we think through not only the canon of scripture, but the canon of music that we listen to and love and take in, there are those of us who come this day and count rap among that canon. And there are those of us who have no earthly idea how that stuff wound up in church. And yet the part of the story that we don't quite know is that church and community life is where rap begins. In African American spirituals that were shared. In music that was written in church, sung by gospel choirs, and how it fused with the music of the streets. With R&B that was there to be listened to, how those things would come together at community block parties, where communities who found themselves under immense suffering, kind of like those Philippians, feeling persecuted, feeling lost, feeling like they didn't have a place to be who God created them to be, found a way with music, by mixing together and blending songs, by laying over them a rhythmic chant that reminded them of those chants in the fields, in their countries of origin. Chants that empowered them, that gave them opportunity to name for themselves what their world looks like. And while many, many, many of those will never find their way into any church, there are those inroads and inlets where we see God at work in a canon, in a way of describing and experiencing life that, while it might not be our way, while it might not be for us in terms of taste or preference, is indeed for us in our striving to understand how to be of one mind in the midst of all this diversity and beauty that God has created. Historically and culturally, for the people who create and produce rap music for their communities, they reflect and reference within hip-hop culture, so that rap at its very best, realest root is about creating and sustaining space where experiences and aspirations and imagination are fully embodied and thoughtful. Whether it's a track that's for dancing, or one that is for thinking, a balance that is struck so often by being both. I'm gonna go out on another limb and say that Paul was probably not a rap fan, but this is a dancing and thinking moment for Paul. A moment for a man who writes with real urgency, as though he and all of his readers are running out of time. He writes with real urgency about the jubilation and the pain that are real for these Philippians. He explains their situation so that this story, for those who will read it later, might read it and recognize their story. And in the midst of this story that Paul tells, he offers some sage advice, advice that has been gifted to him through the lineage of faith. Advice that finds its way into the lyrics of Pulitzer Prize-winning rapper Kendrick Lamar. Be humble. If anything of what Christ has shown us to be true, might it be humility. Because humility is what makes joy complete. And not the kind of joy that has no teeth, no specificity to it. No, the kind of joy that allows you to know that your humility is your humanness, and your humanness is your sacredness. Joy that is acknowledged from a real understanding of not how to sidestep suffering, but to discover the delight of God in the midst. As Paul explains the urgency and import of this message for these Philippians, he's compelled to share what's become known as the Christ hymn, a song in the second chapter of Philippians that explains the suffering and the sweet of Christ that coexisted in the life and love of Christ. Therefore, God also highly exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
We on an ultralight beam, we on an ultralight beam. This is a God dream, this is a God dream, this is everything. Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe, and in my holy war, I'm trying to keep my faith.
Why send oppression, not blessings? Why, oh, why'd you do me wrong? You persecute the weak because it makes you feel so strong. Don't have much strength to fight, so I look to the light to make these wrongs turn right. Head up high, I look to the light.
The words and the tune might not feel familiar, and yet they are. This is a God dream. This is everything. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. A story told again and again with different words and rhythms that make different people dance and think and feel. Surely there are those who hear any version of the song who struggle to imagine that God is embodied in a particular couplet or crescendo. And yet God calls us to recognize that joy is complete, not when we deny the diversity of human likeness that God is capable of embodying, but rather joy is complete when we accept the call to deny that one human likeness is more capable of another than embodying God. There's not just one way to dance. There is not just one way to think. To be of one body and one mind with Jesus requires us to understand the diversity of blessing and the beauty that God has endowed within all creation. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, you greet us in words, words that feel melodic, words that feel messy, words that seem to flow and crescendo, words that seem to be choppy, and yet you remind us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and that Word finds us in many ways. And for that, we give thanks. Amen.